Good morning again. I'm coming to you, one, being on the youth committee and just having Jim as a chaperone. But what we've done is we've made prayer cards. The youth are fixing to go Monday for a super wow, and it's Laguna Beach. And we have every child's, every youth's name and every chaperone's name. And we just want our church, our family.
Excuse me.
To be in prayer for their safety, but more so that lives are changed. And they'll be right up here for y'all to pick up.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Y'all still remember what today is? Y'all done forgot already? Today's the first day of your life now. Y'all remember that? But anyhow, I ain't got much to say. But they're having men's breakfast on the 13th. And then after that, they got the meeting to go to and all. But, and that's it. Now let's go to the Lord with a word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My soul, I will give praise. The Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God. And as long as I live, I will praise all of you. Thank you. Let us bow our heads, please. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you do for us. Of course, I know I say it every time I pray. You give us blessings that we don't deserve. For that, I thank you. But, Lord, you sure have blessed me in a way, Lord, that you put me back on my feet to serve you, Lord. And I'm trying to do it the best I know. And I thank you for that, Lord. But, Lord, I ask you to be with this church and this choir, Lord, as we go on with Brother Dennis, Lord, giving us his word, Lord, for you. And, Lord, I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Psalms 136:1. Stand and sing forever.
Oh, God is good.
All the time.
He is good indeed. We give God the glory. We continue to pray and seek in the Lord for revival. And, you know, revival starts in the heart, in each of us. And that's where it begins. And so we are excited of what God is doing in the life of our church. We got young people going to camp. We're starting a single adults class. We're praying for a young couples class. And God is at work. Amen. So we give God the glory. You may be seated. Let me just a couple of announcements. Next week, I want you to just to remind you that we are moving our Sunday school classes to this building right here. And so you have that list on your bulletin. You have that in your bulletin. Of course, we want to remember our young people. I know we have some are here right now. But if you are a young person going or a chaperone, if you're going to the camp, I'm going to ask you to stand, please. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're going to the camp or you are a chaperone, we give God the glory. And I just want to lift them up in prayer right now, please. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for giving us the blessing, Father, of where we were and where we are and where we're going. And, Father, you are guiding the way. We are so thankful, Father, that we are sending young people to the camp, to Super Wow. And, Father, we thank you for those, Father, who have said, here I am, send me. And, Father, may you use them in a special way. Father, and above all, as Ms. Beth has mentioned, Father, that this would not be a camp, but it would be an experience and an encounter with the living God. Father, bless them. Send angels, Father, to guard this van, these vehicles, Father, who will be traveling. And we ask, Father, that you will be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. If you have a prayer request, we'd love to hear from you. If you are first guest or second time guest, there is a little care card. I'd love to hear from you. And if you have something in your heart that you would like to share for us to pray with and pray for, we'd love to hear from you. Let's continue praising the Lord. And remember, God is good. Amen? All the time.
I'm excited about these young people going to Super Wow. I got to chaperone a Super Wow before. And the speakers there are amazing, and they spend so much time just hearing wonderful testimony and learn so much about God. So I know they're going to have a great time. I'm jealous I'm not going to get to go with them this year. All right, I was going to let you stay seated, but we're standing on the promises, so I think we need to stand up and sing this one.
Standing on the promises of God.
God has not changed.
Amen.
He is faithful yesterday. He was faithful yesterday. He is faithful today, and he will be faithful tomorrow. He is still on the throne. Amen. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're singing Ancient of Days, hymn 62, if you're following in your hymn book. Be seated.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Your voice.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We give God the glory. I want us to just to take a minute to pray. I know you have someone in your heart this morning that you want us to lift them up to you. So we'll just take a minute. If someone is in your heart, just please voice their name, please. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to come to you. And Father, we have folks that are in our hearts this morning. We want to lift them up to you, Father. Father, you said that your house would be a house of prayer. And so, Father, we want to pray. That's what we want to do. We want to call upon you, Father. We're not talking to the ceiling, Father. We're going straight to your throne in heaven. And Father, so we lift up all of these that have been mentioned and those who have not been mentioned. You know them, and so we ask, Father, for miracles. We pray for healing. Father, we pray for restoration. We pray for strength. Father, we ask, Father, for encouragement, and we just want to lift them up to you this morning in Christ's name. Amen. We are in 2 Kings chapter 17. You know, sometimes messages come as you're from different areas, and sometimes just come from your devotional time. And so we are starting, I just started 2 Chronicles, or 1 Chronicles, and finished 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And all of a sudden, you know, when I read this chapter 17, I said, one day I'm going to prepare a sermon on that. So they come, you know, God speaks in different ways. And so it definitely came from the devotional, and then the Lord would not let me leave this particular chapter. So I told Melanie, not last week, but I said for the next week, which is this week, I'm going to be preaching on 2 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to read 1 through 4. So I'm going to ask you, once you have it, if you please stand in reverence to God's word. The word of God says, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea, the son of Elah, became king of Israel in Samaria. And he reigned 9 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, not as the kings of Israel who were there before him. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against him, and Hoshea became his vessel, and pay him tribute money. And the king of Assyria uncovered a conspiracy by Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you all the honor and glory. May you speak to us through your word, Lord. And Father, we pray, Father, for salvation. If there's someone here today who needs to know you, Father, who does not know you, does not have a relationship with you, may today be the day of salvation. Father, may you, O Lord, speak to our hearts, Father, individually. Father, one preaches to a group of people, but your spirit speaks individually. And so I pray, Lord, that you will speak to each one of us. And Father, may you, O Lord, be glorified and exalted in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. You want to just leave your Bible open there, because we're going to be looking at multiple verses within chapter 17. Britannica explained and talked about the Titanic. The Titanic departed from Southampton, England, and it was bound for New York. And this was in April 10, 1912. On the night of April 14th in 1912, about 11:40 p.m., the Titanic sideswiped an iceberg. Despite receiving multiple ice warnings, the crew failed to spot a massive iceberg in time. Of course, we know what happened. The Titanic sank, and hundreds of people lost their lives. When you look at the text that we just read, we look a little bit into understand the background of this particular text here. We learn that the kingdom had been divided after Solomon, and so you have Judah, and also you had Israel. Of course, the capital of Judah was Jerusalem, and the capital of Israel was Samaria. And so this particular, in chapter 17, it talks about that Ahaz was the king of Judah. He was the king of Judah. And Hoshea is the king of Israel, of Israel, and the capital in Samaria. When you look at this particular text, judgment is coming on Israel, with Samaria being the capital. And when you look at what is happening, in the public eye, of course, the name Israel has a name. It has a brand. It meant something. What did it mean? It meant that they were God's people. They represented the God of Israel. This is what they represented. On the surface, that's what they were. You know, and I think about us. I think about, you know, who we are. We are Christians. We are believers. We are Baptists. You know, that's our doctrine that we have. We support missions. We do all of those things. And that's what we are, you know, and when someone searches or Googles, you know, Southern Baptist or Georgia Baptist or whatever, you know, or any Baptist, that's what is going to come out on the surface, but really what is happening underneath. And I love what 2 Kings talks about. It is said that most believe that Jeremiah was the one who wrote these two books. They were not two books, but actually one volume. And so as he comes to them, he talks to them. You see, when God looks at us, he doesn't look at us as we look at each other, that we look ourselves on the surface. When God looks at us, he looks at us in total. He looks at us in a holistic approach. He looks at us from being on the surface, but God also understands what's underneath. And so God looks at Israel, and he sends a servant, a prophet, to speak to them. And so, and what does he tell them? He tells them, something's going on here. Something's going on here. And if you look at the text, in verse 5, it says, now the king of Assyria went through all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged there for 3 years. And in the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away to Assyria and placed them in Halah and the harbor of the river of Gozan and in the cities of Medes. And here comes verse 7. He says, for so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods. On the surface, they had the name. But on a personal note, they had sinned against God. And, you know, God is sovereign. God is holy. God is eternal. God has not changed. As he has been mentioned, he's the same one yesterday, today, and forever. God is alive, and we're alive. Amen? We are not dead. We're alive. I know from time to time we need some Cuban coffee to remind ourselves. And maybe you want to combine a Cuban coffee with a Snickers. That would really do it. That'll wake you up. And sometimes we need to be reminded that God knows everything. That God is sovereign. That He is the all-powerful God. And we are His children. Oh, what a blessing. That would preach, brothers. Amen. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. I'm a child of God. And here is, but God has certain expectations for His children. God has certain things that He wants us to do. What had Israel done? They had sinned against God. Now, I want you to think that for a second. Because sometimes when we commit something, when we say something, when we insult somebody, when we offend somebody, we are thinking that we are offending the person, and we are, but also we, because we are God's children, we're also offending God. See, Israel thought, well, you know, we're Israel. It's in the name. It's in the brand. But God said, you have sinned against me. So that the children of Israel had sinned against their God. But not only did they sin against their God, if you look at verse 7 again, it said, for the children had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods. See, they had forgotten who they were. They had forgotten that they used to be slaves. They had no property. They had no ownership. They were under the rule of Egypt. Once we were there too. We were under the slave of sin, and God has freed us. We are free indeed because Jesus Christ gave His life, shed His blood at Calvary for us. And that's how what we used to be, what we were. We must never forget that we are children of God. We must never forget where God has brought us out of. We must never forget. They completely forgot. They have completely, and this is way back there, the cassette had been erased, completely erased. How many of you remember the cassettes? I got a few folks. Amen. VHS. Now everything is download. But they forgot who they were. We must never forget that we are children of the living God. That once we were slaves to sin, but now we are free indeed. We are free. We are free. But they also had lost the fear of the Lord. They had lost the fear of the Lord. And now they fear, it says, verse 7, that they fear other gods. That they fear other gods. In the scripture, when it talks about gods, what were they fearing? What were they fearing? John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. That means that we worship and serve a God whom we cannot see with our eyes, but must believe in our hearts. You see, they had turned to the gods, and they were worshiping the gods. They were serving the gods, but they were fearing the gods. We are to fear the Lord. They were fearing relics, God with small g. And they were gods of bronze. I love the way Psalm 150 describes the idols. He said, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Because your mercy, because of your truth, why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold. They, the work of man's hands. They have mouth, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them." They no longer were fearing God. Now they were fearing their idols. The idols. We're not to have idols. We are to fear the Lord. We are to fear the Lord. When we do something that is not correct or appropriate, we must fear the Lord. Because he is the Lord. He is the Lord. We're not the Lord. Other people are not the Lord. There's only one Lord and one King of Kings, and his name is Jesus. And we need to fear the Lord. We need to think not what other people think. We need to think, what does the Lord think of me? Israel had gone astray. They weren't fearing the Lord anymore. They were fearing the idols. They were fearing the idols. This is what Israel was doing. They were fearing idols that other people had made. See, rather than cowering terror, it was defined as deep reverence, profound awe, and loving submission to a holy and all-powerful God. We need to fear the Lord. When we walk, we need to fear the Lord. We need to think what God thinks of me. The way we dress, Lord, does this bring glory to your name? When we make transactions, Lord, does this honor you, Lord? Because we are the children of God. But also, they were walking in the statutes of the nations who the Lord had cast out. In verse 8, it says, and had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel, and the kings of Israel which they had made. See, they were not walking by the statutes of the Word of God. See, we need to... This is our statute right here. We have the great blessing. When we study the life and the history of Israel, they were creating and God was using them to make the Bible. But now we have the whole story right here. We have the whole story. And listen, we need to live according to the Word of God. We need to be on the Word of God. Joshua tells us we need to meditate on it day and night. We need to meditate on the Word. As I always said, it's like going to the Mexican restaurant and ordering fajitas. You get all that smell. Let the Word of God just penetrate you. Let the Word of God penetrate us. It's going to impact every area of our lives, the way we sing, the way we teach, all the way we share. The way we love is going to penetrate in us. We got to let the Word of God just penetrate our lives completely. It's going to come out with power when we teach, when we preach. We got to go back to the Word of God. We got to live according to the Word of God. We need to trust in the Lord, in the Lord's promises for us. This is our statue. It cannot be other things in life. It's got to be the Word of God. God is with us. God is with us. All this time that we were visiting, I was visiting folks in hospitals, and you know, it was like the weekly verse in Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Can you imagine if that's your statue every morning? If you get up in the morning and you read that every day, and you go out there and you walk and you live for Jesus, oh, what would happen? What would happen to us? And then you remind yourself, wait a minute, God said not to be afraid. God says he's with me. God says he's going to help me. God says he's going to strengthen me. So I'm going to wait on the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. See how he changed everything? Who's with me this morning? About three of you. That's not bad. You know, not bad. Okay, we'll get there. You can say amen on the next round. See if we get more thumbs up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But they had lost. They weren't living according to the Word anymore. No, they were listening to what other people were saying. And they were listening to people that God had moved them away from. And now they're embracing those things. We need to stand. We need to stand on the promises of God, like the hymn says. Standing on the promises of God. That's the way we need to live our lives, in the promises of God. Listen, he's promised us heaven. We are heaven bound. You see it? They have, you know, high school football, and you see them going up on 75. And what do they say? Stay bound. Stay bound. We're not going stay bound. We're heaven bound. Hey, that's four more. That's good. That's getting better. It's getting up there. Praise the Lord. We're heaven bound. Are you kidding me? We are heaven bound. We are the children of the living God. That's what we are. Thank you, brother. I'll take you to lunch. Okay, good. We're heaven bound. We're the children of the living God. We live according to the promises of God. Are we going to have problems and tribulations? Of course we are. But we bounce back. We got resurrection power in us. Amen? Oh, wow. Okay. But they had something else that was happening in their lives. If you look at verse 9, it says that they were doing something in secret. They were doing things in secret. And they walked in the statues of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before them, the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made, and also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right. They built for themselves high places in all their cities, and from watchtower to fortify cities. They had secret things that they were involved in. Nobody knew except God. Sometimes the iceberg On the surface, people know us, but the one who really, really knows us is God. And they had things in lives, in their lives that they were doing, things that they were practicing in secret that no one else knew except God. And God was not pleased with them. He sent the Assyrians. They were about to go in captivity. They were going to destroy their cities because of the secret sins that were in their life. See, God knows everything about us. But what does God expect of his children? First of all, God expects us to love him. To love him. I was reading something on David the other day, and it really caught my attention because one of the Psalms, David just tells God, I love you. That's it. I don't want anything. I don't need you to show me anything, God. All I want to do is I want to tell you that I love you. When was the last time you asked God, not for healing, not to help you out of the financial burden, but how about just, God, I love you. Matthew 22:37-38 said, Jesus replied, love your God with all your heart and with all your mind. He said, this is the first and greatest commandment. What does God expect of us? He expects us to love God with all our heart. You know, there are things that we could do. There are things that we have the freedom to say them, but sometimes we must not say them because it doesn't glorify God. Jesus says you need to love your God with all your heart. Are you loving God with all your heart, with all your mind? For this is the greatest command. We need to love God. We need to serve God. God expects us to serve him. He expects us to worship him. He expects us to exalt him. We need to love God with all our hearts. But the second thing, and it's right there in Matthew. In Matthew 22:39-40. Jesus not only said to love God with all our heart and all our mind, but God also expects us to love people. Someone said, when I was in seminary, said, I love ministry, I just don't like people. That doesn't go good in ministry. Because ministry is about people. And we need to love each other. And Jesus said, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We need to love people. Not try to change people, We just need to love them and accept them. You know, we're all created by God. We have been created unto the image of God. God loves us. And God expects us to love each other. As 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us, love never fails. We need to love each other. We're all different. Even though we may come from the same household, we're all different. Same mom and dad, but we're all different. And God says, love one another. We need to love one another. The third thing is, God expects us to be different. See, God expected Israel to be different. The fact that they were carrying the name, it meant something. It meant that if we are the children of God, it means something. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Fort Valley, Peach County, or whatever county you may live in, they should look at us and say, they're different. You know why? Because God is our God. We're different. We are to be the light. The light of the world, Jesus said. You're the one who makes this place shine. We are the light of the world. But also, he wants us to live, to confess when we sin. I believe that plane would have taken a different direction if Israel would have confessed their sin to God and humbled themselves. I've learned that when we mess up, just like the prodigal son, the moment we go astray, I believe that our Heavenly Father has his arms stretched waiting for us to come back. But there's something that Israel didn't do. They didn't turn around. They kept going. He wants us to live and learn to confess our sins to him. One of my favorite passages of scripture is 1 John 1:9. In the English Standard Version, it reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins to God, if we bring that to light and say, God, you already know it. You already know what I did. But I want to confess it to you. Why do we need to confess? Have you lost your salvation because you sinned? No. But the fellowship with the Lord needs to get back again. The fellowship has been distorted. It needs to come back again. It needs to come back. Not only are we to confess our sins to God, but James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. It is interesting that he uses the word healing when we confess our sins to one another. You know, when we ask for forgiveness, the Lord, we restore the relationship with God, but we also restore the fellowship with that individual as well. And there's a sense of healing, an internal healing, when we know that a relationship has been restored. Perhaps you have somebody in your heart. James says, go talk with them. Heal your heart and heal their heart as well. It doesn't mean we're going to have to get along with each other. You know, just like in college football, you got fans, Alabama fans, Auburn fans, you got Georgia Tech fans, Georgia fans. But that doesn't mean we're not going to get along. Because we are the children of the living God. Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you all the honor and all the glory. Israel, had gone astray, and they failed to come back. Sometimes we ask, Lord, where is the joy? Where is the peace that you talk about? I don't have it. Sometimes it's the fruit of our sin before the living God. Maybe today you want to come back. Maybe today you say, I'm really not a child of God, or I'm not for certain that I'm a child of God. Today is the day of salvation. You give your heart to Jesus, he will come and live in you forever. As the praise team leads us, what's on your heart this morning?
Stand and sing as we sing about God's words changing our heart.
Thank you.
Brother Rick Hudson, please, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?